Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
All right, thanks for hanging out with us on this Wednesday. In the studio, we are joined by a guy I think it never has been called a scofflaw. Adam Roberts is talking about scofflaws.
Yeah.
Isn't that a weird word, Adam?
Today was the first time I think I've ever seen this word used. So if we get out our dictionary, let me just thumb through real quick. Scofflaw, a person who flouts the law, especially by failing to comply with a law that is difficult to enforce effectively. It's an interesting choice of words there at the end for what we're talking about right now.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about parking tickets.
I only know that from Charles Benson.
Was he a frequent scofflaw user?
I was, because I was getting a few parking tickets in front of my house.
I didn't know I was in the room with a known scofflaw.
He's scofflaw.
So what's the city doing about people like Julia?
I pay. Come on.
Well, there are 39,000 roughly of these scofflaws on this list of people who have fallen under this habitual offenders category. So what does that mean? Well, essentially, that is somebody who has five or more outstanding parking tickets that are 60 days or more overdue.
Okay.
So you have to fit both of those. And the list has grown to nearly 40,000.
Wow.
So under previous City of Milwaukee policy, a car in that situation, if you drive it down to the Third Ward, go to a Bucks game, it could only be towed if you had parked illegally, if you were too far off the curb, or if you were jumping over, or if you went over on your meter time or something like that. Well, now under an ordinance detailed today by Alderman Scott Spiker, that would apply to cars parked legally or illegally. So that's the big change. Now, the data presented today at a presser at the city tow lot indicates that of that 39,000, about 12 to 15%, so roughly a seventh of them, are people who don't live in the city. So they're coming out from the suburbs, they're parking for a night out in those places I mentioned, and they've racked up tickets, and according to the alderman, they just have basically taken them home and have not paid.
Look, this is the regime. You might have thought that all we were giving you was a paper ticket you could gleefully rip up. That isn't the case, because next time you come to the forum, we run your plate. We find out you haven't been paying your tickets. You're five or more, 60 or more days past due. You're not going to have a car when you come home.
So you've been put on notice, Julia. You go out to a Bucks
game.
That's right. You're not going to have a car when you come
home. That's right. It's not good.
You got to scroll down.
Adam, right here, look, I have in my hand from, this is from Shorewood.
You have to scroll.
Are these all your tickets?
Let me see that.
Adam, look at me scrolling. These are all tickets Julia's gotten.
Whoa.
I am not exaggerating.
Explain, please.
20, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. There's like 30 on here.
Okay.
30 tickets?
You guys, I always forget at the beginning of spring you can't park on this one side. Stop counting that. That's not nice. See, I was just trying to be, share a little bit. Sharing's caring.
There are 50 tickets on here.
No way. Times that by 25.
I hope your husband's not listening.
No, I've been.
That's quick math. I can't do that right
hang
now.
Hang on.
And certainly not for a scofflaw.
That makes
such
two of
as
us.
Yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
do your own math, criminal.
Hang on, I'm going to do it. 50 times how many?
Smooth criminal.
Oh, 25. Oh, God.
Yeah.
We'll say the number out loud.
Oh, God. And I paid it all.
What's 50 times 25?
$1,250.
$1,000 for this lawbreaker, Adam. Can you believe it?
I can't.
And other times I, got in the moment and I forgot that I parked my car. I didn't park my car in the garage. It's always innocent.
So what else is the city doing about people like Julia?
Well, there's some good news for folks not named Julia. If you are on that list, and this is, again, specifically applying to City of Milwaukee violations, there's going to be some education period. There'll be a grace period, because anytime a law changes, people will say,
yep,
I didn't know that was a law, and we'll use that as the excuse.
That's
well,
fair.
There is a grace period that starts this Saturday. So letters are going to start going out to anyone on that list, that 39,000 I mentioned.
Yep.
You'll get a letter in the mail, say, hey, look, just a heads up, you're on this list, and if you don't pay up or get on a payment plan or set a court date, if you start parking your car January 1st, 2026, and it's parked in, we're going to tow it. Now, I did ask, you could assume that if these people who are from out of the city, they just don't park in the city anymore, then this law will really not do anything against those people. So I think this is more targeting, again, people coming in from out of town, going out for a night of entertainment, going out to a restaurant, going to a Brewers game, going to a Bucks game, and that's the catch that they'll get for towing these cars away.
Julia, how much does a Starbucks cost, the one that you buy?
Oh, I haven't done it in a little bit. $7.
Okay, so 1,000 divided by 7.
Well, 1,200. I paid $1,200 in my tickets. And by the way, all paid on time. 1,200
divided by 7. So you're not a scofflaw because you pay yours.
Oh, yeah.
That's 171 Starbucks coffees.
Holy smokes. I'm scared straight.
You're stimulating the economy.
I really am. I'm contributing to the economy.
Dude, I'm going to text Jason right now.
Don't.
And make sure that he's okay.
Don't.
My hands up.
Nobody
my hands
tell
are up
my
on
husband,
this. Don't shoot
please.
The messenger.
It is 514 at WTMJ.
Halloween is just 2 days away, John. Many people getting their costumes done. Best part might be when you put, like, you know, red eyes, eye contact
in. I see that, yeah.
Full eye designs. Uh-huh. It may look fun, but actually could be causing serious eye problems, including scratch corneas.
The cornea is kind of like a fingerprint for each individual. They are different from one person to the other. A lot of over-the-counter color lenses, we do not know what type of solution they put it in. Are they contaminated? When you put the lenses on scratching your cornea, it can easily cause infection. It's just like you go to a pool with dirty water. When you get out from the pool the next day, you get infection.
Oh, I didn't even think of that because mine get fitted to the, and if it's not right, it feels not correct on my eye.
Yes, so you keep on blinking the eye or rubbing your eye because of discomfort.
Okay, so rubbing with, you know, buying some of those online, it can scratch your cornea. It, you know, it's unique to every person. That's why you get those fitted contacts. And if it's not FDA regulated, Dr. Ping, optometrist Dr. Albert Ping, says that's a definite no-no.
I do have patients that thinking that those prosthetics you're supposed to put in the eye, they cause a lot of trouble because once they put it in, they cannot take it out because they are not fit for human eyes. They are just basically use it for, you know, for you to put on the door.
What?
So we do people a lot
are,
of
wait,
people
wait, wait,
think
wait, wait, wait. What are they putting on their eye?
When you go online, you'll see they have some what we call acrylic plastic prosthetics.
Oh my God.
But people is, you know, crazy enough thinking that those prosthetic they can put in their eye.
They're putting in acrylic eyes, the kind that you stick onto a window.
That's nuts.
Dr. Ping, what is the worst he has ever seen? Here we go.
Scratch cornea is the worst I would see from using a over-the-counter or non-prescribed color lenses. When they have the party, a Halloween party, they put the lenses on. They know something is wrong, but they still press on. But the next day when they get up, they have intense pain and intense light sensitivities. They have to come in. We have to put bandage on. We have to give them pain medication. We have to give them antibiotic. But those are the most common thing is using non-prescribed color lenses causing a scratch cornea.
The solution, go to an eye doctor. They have all types of contacts, even the ones that are used in Hollywood.
There you go. It's stuff I never knew. Interesting. 520 at WTMJ. Up next, I'm back from Thailand. We went to an elephant sanctuary. They are saving the world's elephants at one very special place in Thailand. I will take you there when we get back on WTMJ. Welcome back to Wisconsin's Afternoon News. So I was just in Thailand. Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. In Thailand, they have an elephant sanctuary. Yeah, you're holding a bracelet that I got from you.
Thank you so much for giving
me
this.
Oh, of course, yeah. It's a beautiful, special place. Right now, if you text the word watch during this interview, you can see pictures of us at the elephant sanctuary, the beautiful elephants, me feeding the elephants, Michelle and I. Text the word watch to 855-616-1620 during this interview. This is Woody, one of the trainers at the Phuket Elephant Sanctuary in Thailand.
Tell me what makes this place so special.
This place very special because of we take a good care elephant and we give them a new and final home and we rescue them to stay here until they die. Just a retired home for the elephant. That's why it's special for the our sanctuary.
Retired home for the elephants.
Yeah.
So the elephants we saw, they were in circuses and shows and hauling logs, right? What did they do before you rescued them?
Our elephant work in the logging camp, show and riding. We don't want them to stay in the show and riding anymore. That's why we rescue them to here to give them a final home forever.
So you said logging camps, yeah. Shows, riding. So in some places in Thailand, it used to be a lot that people could ride elephants, but you rescue the elephants that are used for that, right?
Yeah, we rescue the elephant from the riding camp and show.
How many elephants are here?
We have 14 elephants. We have one boy and 13 girls.
Why only one boy and all the girls?
Difficult to rescue the boy elephant because boy elephant, they have the last ivory tusk. They like to keep the ivory tusk to sell. That's why we rescue the female. Because female elephant, when they are retired and nobody look after them.
I'm so impressed when I walk around here. How happy are the elephants here?
Elephant is so happy because they like a retired elephant to our staff, our people, our employee, and they're happy to stay here like a family, you know.
How important are elephants to Thailand?
Elephant in Thailand is very important. We have to protect them. We have to look after them. Even they work in the park, the hard work from the logging camp, riding camp, after that, we have to protect them. We have to protect. We have to keep them a new and fine and home forever.
There are still wild elephants in Thailand. How many?
We have the wild elephant in Thailand about 4,450 elephants in the wild.
Wow. So we came here today to see the elephants you've rescued. Why is it important that tourists come to Phuket Elephant Sanctuary?
Important for the tourists is the most elephant in Thailand now, they work. But important for them now, you can enjoy with elephant. You can stay and you will know the story. We don't let them to work anymore.
And when we come and we see the elephants and we pay to come here, it allows you to rescue more elephants, right?
Yeah, yeah. We like to rescue more elephant, more to stay in here until they die.
One more question. When people ask you what makes Thailand so special, what do you tell them about Thailand?
Thailand special is, I think in my opinion, is people smile. They like smiling and friendly.
Friendly.
They're friendly people. And important is they pay respect each other from the heart, you know. They pay each other from the heart.
Respect from the heart.
From the heart, you know.
That is Woody. He's in charge of the Phuket Elephant Sanctuary. So all those elephants, it's hard for me to believe there is still a place in the world where the elephants do roam free.
I know.
And they do in Thailand. And they're so proud of it. When you see a magnet, you see a Christmas ornament, you see anything from Thailand, the elephant is kind of the big symbol. And Thailand's such a beautiful country that to be there with 20 listeners and to see these elephants in their natural habitat in the beauty of Thailand, it was really, really cool.
Woody looks so happy.
Yeah, it's pretty, pretty cool stuff.
He is Chief Meteorologist Brian Osnanski. Brian, did you see last night's game, Bucks game?
I did. I watched a good portion of it. It was a good game.
It was.
I missed the second quarter, which I heard was the tough quarter to watch.
Yep,
but,
yep.
But yeah, I mean, I like their effort. You can tell that they're out there, they're competing, and we'll see what happens.
I like it too. Giannis looks hungry. Giannis looks ready to go.
Does.
Miles Turner's only going to get better in this offense. I like it. I like it.
Yeah. You can tell Miles has everything that you look for in a center. His shots just aren't falling right now. And once they do, I think it's going to be a great addition. What I loved that I know you guys probably saw on social media, did you see Giannis, if you can read his lips after one of his dunks? This is my city, made a point.
Oh.
And then there's, and he said
love
something,
it.
He pointed to his jersey. And he held his jersey up and he said, "This is my city." And then you can make out some of it. And some people on Twitter are saying, "I ain't going bleep anywhere." So
I love that.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
That is super cool.
Yeah. And he kind of reaffirmed that in the post game. So, I mean, it's all roses now. I mean, I know anything can happen. And I think when he makes his remarks, it's kind of like, I mean, I shouldn't even make this comparison. What I get at is, okay, on a much smaller scale of a contract, I envision myself here at TMJ for the rest of my life. However, I can't speak to if they want me here the rest of their lives. I hope they do. And also, like,
contract
sure,
negotiations.
If Al Roker came calling and they were like, "Hey, Brian, I'm not sure." You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's a much a small. It's a
definitely.
Much.
This is a good comparison because we've also often called you the Giannis of weather. When we're
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, when we're planning out the show, we go, we got Giannis at 5:35. We got mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, this is everywhere where I want to be, and, yes, and I'm honored to have this
the
position.
Weather freak.
And yeah, and yeah, and by no means am I making any sort of substantial comparison.
No,
but
we get
comparison
you.
Of where it's just like you know. You never can never say never, and I think that's really the only door he's ever opened.
Yeah, because, you know, it takes two to dance, and the Bucks could decide they want to rebuild. Channel 4 could decide that they want to go a different direction. You're right. It takes two. It
I
takes
will
two.
Be protesting if that ever happens. Yeah. Brian's don't never start, going anywhere.
Yeah, that rumor.
If he leaves, we're leaving.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I don't know whatever that means.
Hey, quickly, Miz, now that we've seen pictures in the daylight, how bad was it in Jamaica?
Yeah, it's getting worse and worse because you're starting to see more images come out of areas that literally have no connection to the rest of the world. So, Black River, or I believe, right in the epicenter of Jamaica that got hit. That western side of Jamaica is fairly remote in spots, but there was 200 mile an hour winds with this. I mean, there really isn't going to be much standing. I saw the airport, which is on the other side of the island on the north end in Montego Bay. So this is after it got chewed up by the mountains in Montego Bay. The airport is pretty much demolished. So most of the habitat that people are living in is probably a total loss in the path of the eye itself. But thankfully, as we said leading up to this, a compact storm compared to, its strength, it was a smaller size of a storm. So that hopefully minimizes the scope of the damage.
Hopefully. All right, how about us, Niz? Can you lead us through tonight and the next 5 days?
Yeah, so tonight, again, we're looking at quiet conditions, partly cloudy, a low of 43. For Thursday, partly cloudy, 54. Friday, partly cloudy and breezy, a slight chance of showers, 53. These shower chances Friday, Saturday are really small, like 20% at most. We'll keep a small chance on Saturday, breezy, a high of 51, then sunny on Sunday with a high of 55 degrees.
What's the average high this time of year?
It's right around like upper 50s, 57, 58. So we're pretty close to that or slightly below it. So the record I saw for today was 81. That seemed a little out of the ordinary.
Wow. I thought I saw an outlook that showed that temperatures for us next week could be warmer than usual. Is that right?
Yeah, I have my 10-day. Let me reach it right here. I don't show a 10-day on air, but just so I'm kind of in tune with what's coming. Next Friday, I have 68.
Whoa!
That looks pretty good.
That's
great. So,
let's go.
Maybe even Wednesday, 60s. So we'll see.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, so that'll feel awesome.
All right.
You can get, 70s aren't crazy this time of year.
Yeah.
Sure, it's warmer than average, but I kind of gauge it with my oldest daughter's birthday is November 7th, and out of her, she's going to be turning 10. At least three of those days, birthdays, were abnormally warm, like 70s, and we were outside on the patio.
All right.
So it can happen.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it
gives
can
us,
happen.
Gives us hope. Yeah. That's good. Chief Meteorologist, the weather freak, Brian Nisnansky.
The weather freak!
Nis, thanks.
That's right. All right, see you guys later. I'm not going anywhere. 44.
That's right. Nowhere! We shift from Bucks to Packers up next.
From sidelines to the studios and everything in between, no one brings you closer to the action.
Micah Parsons is on the trajectory to a first ballot Hall of Fame. That's the trajectory he's on, just plain and simple what it is.
It's time to get caught up on the green and gold with today's insider, ESPN's Alex Stroh, on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
What the hell's going on?
Alex, thank you so much for being with us.
Good to be with you. I know I'm a little bit different than your typical guest on Wednesday. I am not in the Packers Hall of Fame, despite popular beliefs, but good to be with you guys.
You are a Wisconsin's Afternoon News Hall of Famer.
You are.
Oh, wow. Thank you, guys.
First ballot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Am I the first member of that Hall
you
of Fame?
You are, and I think it was unanimous, actually.
What about, Niz? I feel like Niz should be
in
there.
Well, we gave it to Wildy, but we had to take it back.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we did, actually. We so did. Now you're the only guy.
That's a story for another day.
We're still taking nominations, so your teammates will grow in there. Hey, let's talk about Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love outperforms Aaron Rodgers, had a great game. Here's my most basic question for you. Should he be in the conversation at this stage of the season for NFL MVP?
Yeah, I mean, this is the part of the season where you really start evaluating that, right? We're about halfway through, and his team is in first place of the NFC. He's been their best player, but really the MVP is a quarterback award these days, right? Wisconsin alum Jonathan Taylor, the running back of the Indianapolis Colts, should probably be more in that conversation than he is, but he's not a quarterback. Yep. So to answer your question, John, absolutely, I think he should be. Now, he's still got to play really well in other primetime games like he did on Sunday night. They've got Philadelphia coming to town in 2 weeks on a Monday night. They've got Detroit on Thanksgiving. Those are games where Love needs to shine, and he typically has in those national stage games, and he will really solidify his name at the top of the MVP race. But right now, I would say, yeah, he's one of several quarterbacks who are in that conversation, especially because his team's record is so good.
You know, I was thinking about that side-by-side when we were talking last week of Rodgers on the field and then immediately Love on the field. Oh my gosh, Love did so good. I didn't even have to worry about, you know, any comparison. He's blooming. It was so good. That far throw that he did.
Oh, a couple of them. But yeah, I assume you're referring to the one to Watson where he extends the play, runs out, and kind of sidearms. Amazing. He had the one to Kraft.
The
where he
sidearm.
Just floats it up. He is growing in tremendous fashion in terms of improvising. I think that's something I've been so impressed with him now in his third year as the starter. Something I've always been impressed with him about, and I think we've talked about this before, is just how cool, calm, collected he is. Yep. Because when you're in those moments, it's a Sunday night football game. You're playing in front of a national audience. I think the number came out, 26 million people viewed that game on Sunday. And Love just looks like he's in complete control of the show. So to your point on the side-by-side, you're talking about that graphic they popped up sometime in the second half. We were talking about that last week, Julia. Yeah. You know, what's that going to look like? Are their numbers going to be similar? Or is one going to be blowing the other out? It was certainly the latter in favor of Jordan Love, which was really encouraging to see.
Can you talk about his leadership ability? I think sometimes we can confuse lack of leadership for a guy that's quiet. Use the term calm, cool, under pressure. You don't have to be Brett Favre jumping in the arms of your teammates or Aaron Rodgers scolding your teammates to be a leader, do you?
No, I think there's lead by vocal or lead by example. And I would say he's certainly more the latter. Now, he does speak in the locker room and tries to get his guys revved up, but there are other vocal leaders on that offense, specifically a guy who had a great game on Sunday and Tucker Kraft. He's a vocal guy. He's a really good vocal leader in that locker room. And I know the Packers released a great clip of him talking after the game, after his 2-touchdown performance on Sunday. But Love has evolved as a leader for sure. He's more vocal than he was, say, 2 years ago in his first season as a starter. But he's more of a lead by example guy. And again, it goes back to, I think, that cool, calm collectiveness that he has in those high pressure situations. I think guys around him get calmer and the pressure goes down a little bit.
Good
just
point.
Because they see the guy who's calling the plays in the huddle, not phased by the moment, which should be an encouraging sign for Packers fans.
LaFleur stresses me out.
That makes sense.
Him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's the total opposite. So intense.
he's intense. He's yelling. He's animated.
Fiery, yeah.
I like it, but I mean, it's very different, right? It's yin and yang almost with those two.
Hey, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball.
Sure.
Micah Parsons. I think Packers fans want him to have 5 sacks every game, right?
Yeah.
That's just what they want.
I want that too, John.
Yes. I want to ask you about when they decided to line him up more consistently in the middle versus on one of the ends. Was that effective?
Oh, yeah, it was. And look, when you have a guy of that level, right, when he is one of the best defensive players on the planet, bar none, you're going to do different things to get him involved and throw the opposing offense off guard a little bit. Now, they've experimented with it here and there. I noticed it more on Sunday, though, as well, John, where he was lining up kind of as a defensive tackle rather than an end. And partially that's because they're dealing with some injuries on the interior, but secondarily, it's because he's that effective. He's that good. No matter where you put him on the field, he's going to make plays. So I imagine that's something they'll look to more throughout the regular season as they get Lucas Van Ness back in the fold, the former first-round pick who's been dealing with I believe it's an ankle injury for him. But Rashawn Gary, they want on the field, another depth defensive end. They like their depth there. So why not put Micah inside and just try to run, you know, 4 guys at him, their 4 best guys at him, depending on the play.
It seems like it rattled Rodgers, too. Like when he's on the far right or far left, it's easier for Rodgers to know where he is. Yeah. When he was in the middle, it seemed like Rodgers had happy feet.
And he's not moving like he once did. Despite being 41 years old and still a good quarterback in the NFL, he doesn't have the mobility he once did, and that was evident. But there was one play, I believe it was in the fourth quarter on Sunday, where Rodgers is rolling out to his right, and he got rid of the ball, and he feels a slap on his hand after the ball. And he kind of looks behind him, and you could see in his face, oh, I know who that was. That was number one behind me.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, ooh, it was so close. And then they had some fun about it. But he also talked about a few things that we found out what they were talking about. Was it on the field, John?
Yeah. It's being reported that Rodgers said to Parsons at one point, I want you to buy my house. You're new in town and my house is still for sale. I love those little nuggets, that little back and forth.
I do too. And Rodgers has always been known as a guy who's more of a, he's not like a you suck type trash talker, right? He's going to say things that throw guys off guard, which I've always loved about Rodgers. That one's funny as heck. I enjoy that. Now, I believe Mike has already bought a house or a condo or something, but all things considered, he could probably afford another one given that massive contract he signed a few months ago. So, hey, Rodgers is pitching it to anybody that can afford it, and Micah Parsons certainly falls in that category.
Oh, I see it.
Interesting that 3 years later, it's still on the market.
It's a ranch house.
It's not cheap.
And it's a beautiful house.
John, it's not that bad.
And it's not that big.
No.
Does it have a price on there?
$424,000.
Oh, not that bad. I figured it'd be more.
Yeah, me too. No. That's affordable.
Well, for those of you listening in the Green Bay area,
we should go in. It could be another Tundra Trio house, although it's not really close to Lambeau.
I know. Why would you? Oh, but he bought this. He's like on this big piece of farmland, Micah.
Yeah, that's right. Cool. That has been reported.
I think he was saying all that to butter him up so he wouldn't get like a horrible sack and get injured. You know, you got to butter those guys up.
Just had the one, but the Packers, only one of two teams in the NFL with two guys in the top 10 for sacks. Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons both in the top 10 for sacks now after Sunday night's win. Denver, the only other team who debatably has the best defense in the league. So good company for this Green Bay defense.
The host of Green Bay Game Day, Alex Strofe. Alex, it's always fun. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.